So as Matt said, I'll be reading from the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke is a biography of Jesus' life, and this passage is about his birth. So it's Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. Starting in verse 1. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn.
Luke chapter 2, starting from verse 8. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them.
Well, good evening. My name is Josh. As Matt mentioned earlier, I'm one of the pastors here at Bull Creek, and it's great to see so many people here tonight, which is fantastic. Especially a warm welcome to you if you are here for the first time or just visiting. It's great that you can be with us, and it's awesome to hear everyone singing so loudly. It's great. Well, if you are after an image, a classic image of Christmas, I reckon you can't do much better than a nativity scene. You might have seen some of them around the place as you've perhaps done some Christmas light hunting, or coming up in the city, I think the weekend before Christmas, the city of Perth puts on a big Christmas nativity show with a big life-sized version of a nativity scene on display. Now, sadly, having a life-size version of a nativity scene up on stage tonight would make things a bit too crazy. So, as a replacement, I've got one on the screen behind me. Oh, there we go. Back one. There it is. There you go. So, I don't know about you, something like this, I think, a picture like that, it immediately, it's going to evoke images of Christmas in your mind, isn't it? It's kind of, it's quintessential Christmas, I reckon, or pretty close to it. But I think that if you take a closer look at an image like this, at most nativity scenes, I think there's something not quite right about them. They don't stand up to scrutiny under a bit of further inspection. And in fact, I think in important ways, they miss the point. And this one behind me is no different. So the question then is, well, if this thing, which normally makes us think of Christmas, misses the point, what then can we look at or hear to get a true sense of what Christmas is about? How can we tell if something like this behind us is genuine, the real deal when it comes to Christmas? Well, to do that, we've got to look at the original story. We've got to look at the original Christmas story, and the best way to access that is right here in the Bible, these pages of history, the historical account which we just had read to us from Sarah and Marco. And this is where we're going to find out how genuine this scene behind us really is. So let's do a compare and contrast, shall we? What is in this nativity scene behind me that's genuinely part of the Christmas story, and what's there that isn't? So let me look at the passage again. So starting in verse 4 and 5, I've got it up on the screen behind me. And Joseph also went up from Galilee to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. Okay, so there you go, Joseph and Mary, pretty key figures in the Christmas story. And are they in this nativity scene? Yep, there you go, there they are, two up the back. All right, tick, we're off to a good start, that's good. But what next? Well, Joseph and Mary, they're not just there to be registered, but they're there to have a baby, aren't they? Verse 6 and 7. And while they were there, the time came for her, that is Mary, to give birth. And she gave birth to a firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger. Baby Jesus. There he is. Right? They can't have Christmas without him. They got that right. Good stuff. But notice, did you notice, there's something missing. Okay, where's baby Jesus meant to be, according to that little passage we just read, verse 7? He's meant to be in a manger. Now, what's a manger? A manger is a feeding trough for animals. Okay, now, it should be there, according to the story, but in our picture, it's missing. And here is where things get a little bit more off track. Because what else do we have left in this nativity scene? Well, we've got some animals, we've got some children, and what look like shepherds as well. Are they all part of the original, genuine story? Well, for the shepherds, I think that sounds about right, isn't it? We heard that in the story. The shepherds, they hear about Jesus' birth, and they do go and see him while he's in that manger. That's Luke chapter 2, verse 16. So, yep, shepherds, will tick, that's good. And sure, maybe they took some sheep with them. Kind of, I think Dave might have been hinting that, maybe, who knows. And so maybe that's why there's some sheep in this nativity scene, I guess. But really, I mean, it's just speculation. The story doesn't say. It's not in there. So we don't know one way or the other. Well, what about these last few? Okay, I think at the front there's a dog and there's some kids there as well. Now, to tell you the truth, I don't know what they're doing in that nativity scene. I mean, there's not even a hint of that in the story we just heard. And I can tell you, my wife, Carolyn, and I, we're about to have our first baby just after Christmas. And if there is a dog running around right after she gives birth, that's not going to end well, I can tell you that. All right, so no deal. I don't know what the artist was thinking when they added those things into the picture. Now, as you can see, this nativity scene, this picture that's meant to remind us of Christmas, it's a bit hit and miss. Hey, there are some things there that are genuine, that actually are part of the real story, and some things that aren't. And I think that means that as a whole, the image, well, it comes off as having fallen short. It's not really the real deal. And that makes me think of the way we celebrate Christmas today, too. Where there are lots of good things that we do around Christmas time. Now, you may be looking forward to some of them yourself in just about a week and a half. Now, we've got our time with family, our seeing loved ones again, our catching up with your favorite aunt and uncle, or seeing those cousins you haven't seen in a while. You get to enjoy great food, mum and dad going all out to put on a Christmas feast for everyone to enjoy. Christmas ham, or maybe throw a few shrimp on the barbie, fruit mince pies, trifle. I love trifle. It's amazing. And then there's those Christmas crackers. Who can forget those? You get the small toy, you get the hat that doesn't fit properly, and those incredible, fantastic, cutting-edge dad jokes that everyone loves. I think Dave knows something about that. Christmas is full of good things, isn't it? But if that's all that Christmas is full of, these things, I think it actually misses the point. It's a bit like this nativity scene. It's not genuine. Now, the truth is, to have a genuine Christmas, there's one thing you need above all else. Above spending time with loved ones, above dining on that delicious food, above even presents. Well, what is it? What do you need? Well, you need Jesus at the center of Christmas. To have a genuine Christmas, you need Jesus. Now, if you don't, right, if you don't have Jesus, it's a bit like this nativity scene. Okay? It's not genuine. In fact, without Jesus, all you really get at Christmas is just another family get-together. That's it. No, the one thing you need for a genuine Christmas is Jesus at the center. And why is that so important? Why is that so important to grasp? Well, it's because of what Jesus came to do. And I'll show you again a couple of verses from that passage we just heard, verse 10 and 11, the original Christmas story. And the angel said to them, that's to the shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people, for all of us. Okay? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." A genuine Christmas is all about the fact that God sent Jesus into the world. Why? To be Savior. To be your Savior. To be my Savior. Because Jesus, he's not just some helpless baby like he's pictured in most nativity scenes. No, as the angels declare, he's Christ the Lord. In other words, this Savior is God himself. And so if God's message for all people, including you and me, is that Jesus came to save, well, it means that all of us, you and me, need saving, doesn't it? I was driving around this afternoon, a couple of things, and there were a bunch of fire warnings broadcast over the radio for everyone to hear. Now, the government, they wouldn't do that if fire wasn't a real threat, if it wasn't something that we'd really needed to hear. And God's not going to make a message saying, this is something everyone needs to hear, Jesus has come to save, if we don't really need it. But what do we need saving from? If Jesus is Savior, what do we need to be saved from? Well, this is where getting a big picture of the Bible is really handy. We need saving, ultimately, from ourselves. We need saving from our own pattern of ignoring God and doing whatever we want in life without any reference to him whatsoever. Now, imagine being invited to a Christmas banquet this year, and you go along, and you spend the whole day sitting in the corner of the room, on your phone, completely ignoring your host, not saying anything to them, not even acknowledging their existence, eating all the food, enjoying all the good things they provide, but just flat out ignoring them. And what do you think your host would do if that was the case? What would you do if you were the host in that situation? You'd be likely to kick them out, wouldn't you? Now, the story of the Bible is similar. We all have completely ignored our host, the one who made the world, the one who made us, the one who made all the good things that we enjoy, God himself. And we haven't just done this at Christmas, but in every single day of our lives. The Bible calls this sin. And because we've all done this every day, every moment of life, well, just like ignoring your host at Christmas, there are bound to be repercussions in store for every one of us. And the Bible makes it clear. It says if you continue rejecting God, continue ignoring him, then when Jesus returns and you stand before him, it's very possible that he will say to you, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of evil." Now that is very non-PC, isn't it? Oh, we don't like to talk about this. People should be able to do whatever they want, we say. I went down the road to Piney Lakes, just down Leach Highway, a few weeks ago, one morning with my wife Carolyn and my sister Tara, and we were walking along the boardwalk there. It's this really nice walk. I don't know if you've been. It's great. And suddenly we spotted a snake slithering down the boardwalk behind us. Now, to look, it looked like a dugite. I don't know if you're familiar. Dugites are dangerous snakes, not to be messed with. Now, if my wife or my sister had said, look, I've never held a snake before. I've always wanted to know what it feels like. This is my chance. Now, what would you do in that situation? Would you stay silent? Would you sugarcoat it and say, hey, look, if that's what you want to do, who am I to tell you not to? Or would you say, stop it. Don't mess around. You're in grave danger. See, it's important that we tell the truth, that we speak the truth. And that's why it's great, the Bible that lays it out for us. It doesn't sugarcoat it. And the message from God for all people, for you and for me, is that God sent Jesus specifically to save you. Because you need saving. That he came to bring you out of harm's way, to save you from the consequences we deserve for ignoring God, so that instead you can become a full member of God's family rather than being kicked out for ignoring him. That's what a genuine Christmas is all about. Knowing and trusting that Jesus is your savior. There are a lot of good things that you can do around Christmas, but none of them would be better than recognizing the truth from God in this original Christmas story that we need saving from our sin, that Jesus came to do just that, and that if I trust in him, he will do as God said he would. He'll save me. Now, have you recognized that this Christmas? If you're here this evening and you've realized that you want to taste the real thing, you want a genuine Christmas with Jesus, well, then I'd love to talk to you about that after the service, about how great it is to know Jesus as Savior. Hey, I'll be hanging around the front after the service. Feel free to come and chat to me. Also, I should say, this church that we're at now that many of us here are part of, we're here every Sunday. We're here at 9:30 a.m. in the morning and 6:30 p.m. at night. We've got a Christmas Eve service coming up at 9 p.m., a Christmas Day service at 9 a.m. I'll be at all of those, so will Matt and Sean, the other people that you've seen up here tonight. And we'd love to talk to you more about Jesus as Savior. But now I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray to finish off. And if what you've heard tonight has resonated with you, why don't you pray along with me, just in your own mind. But whatever you do, don't be happy with anything other than a genuine Christmas this year, where Jesus is at the center, where Jesus is your Savior. Why don't you pray? Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, I thank you for Christmas and the true story of Christmas in the Bible. Father, please forgive me for ignoring you, for sinning against you. Thank you that you have provided a way for me to be saved from my sin. Please do that for me through the Lord Jesus. Help me to trust in the forgiveness he provides freely on my behalf. And help me in response to have Jesus at the center, not just of Christmas, but in all of life. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.